the people, his mother and brother, stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Here's my family. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And already to start how the early apostles were amazingly dedicated towards Jesus, wasn't there? But they were amazingly dedicated towards each other. It said they shared properties, sold properties, and helped them in need. And it's something we can't express wholly in its numbers like us. This is quite difficult just to sit around the table together and speak about each other's needs. But just picking up on what Francis says about gangs. Wasn't that a thing at the end when he says how the gangs then become more an example of family than the family of God? That's quite a statement. But I started running this through in my mind with my gang mentality previously. I wouldn't have said I was a part of a great gang, so didn't I think I'm blowing things out of proportion. I wasn't a big gang leader in the Bronx. And you might think, I bet he's been alone a rise life. But it's not true. I used to be part of a gang. Just a gang's just a group of chums, isn't it? Maybe some of you had been part of a group of chums previously to be, if any was saved. And through our teenage years, it was like family. Again, Rhoda's chum, Sandra, was best mates with Arloon. One of the most tragic things I've been through in life was when he passed away and was, again, for years just in the wilderness after that. Nobody teaches you how to grieve. Nobody teaches you these things at a young age. Fears to grieve and sorrow and heartache and pain. And there was him, Stephen. Guy. We can't flee. Good guy. Happy guy. Says to Steve Yockert through the wick. It's just an untrue perception that sometimes a Christian gives that everything before Christ was rubbish and everything after Christ was good. That before Christ nothing was miserable, then suddenly nothing's joyful. I had some good times before. I have to be a bit honest here. Then I had some happy times. Something was missing. His name was Jesus. I can't say that before I became a Christian, I think it was just doom and gloom. We do our best. Folks doing their best without Jesus and in happy moments and celebrations and getting involved with groups. I had some good times. Flea was involved with that. You always had nicknames for your chums. James Robert, he was another. Cam Robbie. We had Scott Stephen Chile. It's his name. Called him Chilly because we went to play Fit Van Holland. And every 10 minutes he was needing the toilet. You got a chill. You still use that? Called him Chilly. Paul Much. He was Muchy. Hi, Muchy. McD. John McDonald. McD. Me, I was Kev. Very imaginative. I just want to tell you a little bit about us. I didn't think when I shared this that I'm glorifying in the old life. I just want you to get the principle of it is to be family, because I came through grief, and I'm not matching up with what Flea's family went through, because that is to the power of honor what I went through. But I want to say that was a family member. It wasn't a casual friend, and the day he passed away, it was okay, let's just have porridge. You lost family. There was a sense of family when we grew up. Camaraderie. You ever heard the word banter, Christians? Like there's mild banter, Christian banter. And then it's just like deeply offensive between chums, but it's okay. It's like, I don't care how to explain it. Offensiveness was a learned behavior for me after becoming a Christian. It's obviously, folk have got chip on their shoulders. I think, I must have missed the how to be offended class. Because when you grow up in chums and gangs, it's just you're able to sit with your mates and get stuff fired at you and you fire it back and it's okay. I'm not saying this should happen in house church. If you get me started, potential, I'll pass on me. So I could tell you how funny I was to other people. But because I was vertically challenged with pointy ears, the word gnome got brought up quite a lot. This is what we did. It's good to laugh, Ken. If you come, I got to get offended if Ryan Coffin you bring us up. But you'd just be sitting before I went down the road, and you'd be there drinking your fizzy juice and eating Haribos and crisps, your diet colas. And Robbie, he was usually the one, Ken. It'd just be, all right, Norm. And then I said stuff back and forth, and it was, oh, have you done your Norm work this week? And funny stuff, Ken. How are you getting on in Norm economics? I used to fire stuff. He looked a lot like Scooby-Doo's chum Shaggy, so I used to back and forth. God, banter, I'm not saying that we should do this. I'm trying to paint a picture of you of how things went. It was a laugh, it wasn't it? Oh, I'm offended. It was, I just need to come up with something better. It was just chums. It was just family. That's how I can explain. But what I tell you something, after you walk down the road, that's when you've seen the family instinct cut in. You used to walk down the road, I'll just keep this legal, 18. After a half bottle of Buckfast or something, you think you could take on the world. And you used to walk down the road, still saying stuff about each other. And because I was vertically challenged, I never used to get always into the pubs and that. I was an annoying guy outside, arguing, trying to get in. And this is for family kicked in. Because I thought we'd said that privately. If somebody said something against you publicly that wasn't in your group, the protection instinct to family kicked in immediately. I'm not trying to big this up, or Ken, we part of a gang with knuckled people and that. It wasn't it like that. But if somebody said something, I would flee. But now I've always been a lover and a fighter. But there was this thing of, we're in this together. We're going to protect each other. If somebody said something about me, it was for the other guys. They were bigger than me. They would get alongside. It was protection. The first instinct, it didn't matter all the banter and all the stuff that happened previously. When we came together, there was just this automatic thing. We're mates. We've got faults, we're family. And the natural instinct was protection. I've got to say, I still long for that within the church. That their natural instinct would be protection. And you see it. I think that's what Francis was getting at. Imagine the church that was in units of love and protection and guidance. That the protection would be instinctive. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It's very difficult to get us in big church. Because some folk have suffered this week and some folk have been honored this week. But you cut that into a house church scenario, 10 to 15 adults, and you listen to somebody's heartache story for the week, you got to suffer that together, haven't you? You got to pray through that together. Because your natural instinct is, we need to protect this person. And if somebody's lost or gone through grief, or going through financial difficulty, the heart should be, let's as a group protect, cover them in prayer. Is there one thing practical we can do to become a natural instinct or help and support? But also says, if one is honored, rejoice together. And in a smart church setting, to come together with good news, answered prayer. And as one person says, if one grieves, I suffer. If one is honored, I rejoice. And you start living this life in unity, in unison with each other, becoming family. Rejoice that there's been an answered prayer, that there's been a healing. Hallelujah. That somebody's got saved. It's difficult to do it for this big church because somebody's gone through different things, but speaking on Corinthians, I believe it's on about this intimate family, this house church scenario. Galatians 6:10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those in the household of faith. Be good to everyone, especially in the household of faith. That us, like the family of God, is a responsibility to look after each other, practical needs, spiritual needs. I believe this is done best in smaller groups rather than trying to do it with a bigger group with one person in the middle. Imagine for a second a group of people. As I said at the start, the apostles, amazingly dedicated towards our Savior, amazingly dedicated towards each other. So they shared everything together. Imagine in a small group, for somebody brings a need, it could be big or small, but how the group can help and pray for that person. Because stuff happens, doesn't it, in life? Imagine if we shared our hearts and lives with each other in love. Do you think I've got a shady full of tools that I hardly ever use? A lawnmower, I did use that. A mower, I've got to use that. Strimmer, I don't use a strimmer, but I've got to just do my best to get closest to the edges with the lawnmower. I've got a drill. I've got two drills, actually. With other drill bits, I've got screws. I've got a hedge trimmer. God, this stuff. Can you imagine in a house church scenario that somebody says, my lawnmower's broken down this week. We've not really got enough money to pay for another rain. It's an inconvenient expense. Isn't it amazing just to say, you can use mine. Maybe we'll chip in and buy you. I'll drop off at your house. Oh, something needs drilling, I've got to drill. Why do we always feel the need we've got to go and buy stuff that we'll hardly use? My shady's nail locked. I'd tell anybody. But if you're in need of a chainsaw, you think it's 40, 50 quid for a half decent aim for Argos. Any buying, if it's a one-off job, come and see, just go and help yourself. That's what the Christians practice, wouldn't it? Everything out, it is. As brothers and sisters, if I was sitting in a group and somebody had given me the sob story or the lawnmower scenario, how would I be as a Christian if I just sat here and listened to that sob story and I've got a lawnmower doing nothing in my shed? That's just maybe a small thing, but nobody's going to come to the church leaders if they got a lawnmower. It's something that just might come up in conversation. You help yourself. Just go into my shed. I'm okay, and give me a message or something. Said, I think I've been broken into. Imagine if I looked in the morning, nothing was gone. Getting far, but coming to see you. Ewings. Just think this through, how it could be radical love for one another, meeting each other's needs, being family, protecting one another. If somebody's gone through hardship or sickness, let's pray for one another. Radical love. If it's too big for the 10 or the 15 that's traumatic and it is a massive catastrophe, then we could take it before the wider church, the 100. Maybe it needs more support than just for the small group scenario. Are you still with me? It's good to get feedback on how people are journeying, not just along with me and the leaders, but you're journeying it through yourselves as families and studying the Word of God for yourself. I'm almost finished. Jesus says, and he picked it up, that the world would know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. Isn't that such a thing for Jesus to say? He could have said so much more. He could have said, they'll ken you're my disciples by your anointed preaching, by your buildings, by you helping the poor, by your moral standing. He says, the world will know that you follow Jesus by your love for one another. I'll mark that. I think people's looking for family. They're looking for a gang. They're looking for somebody they can feel secure and love. I'm on a journey with this as well, and there was something when I thought back to fit we had as a gang group. I thought, I may be looking for that again. I may be looking for a 10. Now, nay, I'll be the same age and same gender. Looking for family. People who can trust and help. Maybe I'm just doing this journey myself, but I think some of you are Wima. Says he places people in families to care for each other, to look for each other. And Jesus says, the world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. And I start to think us through how that works practically, because it's difficult to show it in a service like us. I think it showed it in a house church scenario as the disciples went from house to house. Can you imagine inviting somebody that's looking for family in a scenario and you sit in a circle and people are saying, you need a lawnmower, I've got it and it's yours. You imagine somebody coming in and a person that is sick. Oh, I've had a rough week, I'm sick. And it's terrible news for the doctor. And a group of people saying, we've got to believe for a miracle. We've got to help you through this. I've got a hospital appointment in Aberdeen and I've got kids to drop off. Hey, can anybody here drop off the kids? And do you need a run to Aberdeen? Can you drive? No, I can't. I drive to catch 3 buses to get to the... Anybody here available? Let's go for it. And somebody coming in thinking, what on earth? These people love each other. Before they even sat around the Word of God, before you speak about anointed preaching and signs and wonders and miracles, these people are loving each other. That's got to be infectious. I would want to be part of that. I would want to be part of your gang if you was like that. If I was to come into a scenario going through a rough time, Kenan, there's got to be people to support me. I want to be part of that family. I want to be part of a family that folk would come in and rejoice with good news. I want to hear that I'll be part of a family that will teach her the scriptures and pray. And part of a closer connection. If she was to come up against something, she want to get baptized. Hallelujah. There'll be trials, but we need to make sure that she's looked after. We need to rejoice with each other. Maybe a bit more is next week or forever, probably look at after Easter. Looking at how to multiply, and maybe speak more on this. Should multiply the family. There's challenges before us. And we'll look to meet every 6 weeks here. Gather house churches together and hear testimonies of what God is doing within the groups to keep the unity of the body of Christ. And if one house group, house church multiplies and the other shrinks, the one that's part of the folk, this is real stuff, part of the one that shrinks. Oh, look, they're doing so good. It's good to come together and just, we're in this together. This is family. This is the love of the body of Christ. It's okay. Pray for the leaders. Be there for them. the world will know we are followers of Jesus, conforming more and more into his image through knowing God and his people by how we practically live this Christian life out and love one another. Let's stand. Let's kind of pray. Jesus. Jesus. We've got so much to offer, haven't we? To other people. Nobody should go in need in this Western culture. We can, there's benefits in that. But there are still people struggling in this community to make ends meet. There's more month at the end than there is money. I've got so much, and sometimes we don't appreciate it. Want to hear another story to share my, put myself out here this morning. That I like a T-shirt. Most of my T-shirts off of Primark before you think, oh, he's loaded. But Isabel was ironing. Yes, it is, because she's good at that. Good at other things as well. This is with T-shirt count. She said, I've ironed 20 T-shirts between the kids, 10 bars. Then I lynch my, I wear about 2 T-shirts a day. Can you go a place? 51 T-shirts. Tragic. Mostly for Primark, £2 or £3 spent per T-shirt. I've got a lot to give. I would wonder if somebody was part of a group. We've got to look after the poor. Somebody had says, I'm struggling for clothes. They clothe them, didn't we? Just go help yourself. I'm struggling for food. Fridge, go, take what you want. Cupboards, go. I've got tins of baked beans that's been there, and pot noodles, stuff like that, healthy stuff. I'm looking for that. For me, I can't do it here. I can't do it in this setting. It's too big. May work these things through in small families. Capture my heart. The day is because we believe God is leading us in a direction. Maybe because the church is falling to bits and I'm scratching my head in my house thinking, I can't do with this lot anymore. Things are going good. People are getting saved and baptized, but yet we're saying we could do this better. So I appreciate your grace and patience. And if you've got any questions, just come to me. There's a lot to think about, a lot to transition with for us. But let's lift our eyes to Jesus. I was thinking of King Jehoshaphat. It's been on my mind a lot this week. And you can that King Jehoshaphat had an amazing army and was coming into a battle. And he said these words as he, before he went into battle. He said, I don't really care what I'm doing, but my eyes are upon Jesus. And then he went in and won the battle. In a sense, a lot of you are like, you have to come for Dean, Kevin, with us. I came for I'm gone, and there's a lot of questions for me that'll be answered, but I would ask for us is, would I care everything? Would I know everything? But one thing we do is our eyes are upon Jesus. And that is a heart cry of this fellowship. There's a lot of questions, a lot of T's to be crossed, I's to be dotted. There's a lot of practical things and leaders to be raised up. But our hearts is vulnerable before you, Jesus. And we admit before you, humbly, that we lack in everything. But our eyes are upon Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that when we set our eyes upon you, you give us hope. You give us wisdom. You give us direction. You give us favor. We ask, Jesus, that you would empower us with the power of the Holy Spirit to see the church family grow, to see this worldwide church family grow, the sons and daughters would be added to the family of the living God, to glorify the name of Jesus, so that people would be looked after, the brokenhearted, the destitute, the poor, them that are looking for family but yet feel so isolated. Them that have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but they feel so lonely. Them that stick up beautiful pictures on Instagram, But in their hearts, they feel so lonely and ugly and full of regret and shame. We're thinking about them. They just need other people to get alongside them and show them practical love and care. God, continue to teach us your ways. Look after us as a church family as we face so many different things this week. So many different challenges await us. But God, we know not what we do always. But this we do, our eyes are upon Jesus. And we pray for them that are facing a week of trials. Would you strengthen them in the inner being? We power your Holy Spirit. For them that will triumph of our answered promises, God, we'll rejoice with them also. We're careful to give you all the glory. Help us to be an effective fellowship before the day that you return and say it is completely finished. And start the marriage supper of the Lamb. We give you glory. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for the grace and the patience to come and listen and to worship together. We've experienced the Lord. A lot to think about, I'm sure. But God bless you. The Filipino service will start at 2. The offer will start at 5. We soup this evening. Thank you. God bless.